Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guesthouse overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission.
When Tommy Chu, my guide from the Hong Kong Tourist Authority, asked if I'd like to visit a Taoist temple across the bay on Kowloon side, I readily agree. Wong Tai Sin Temple is doing a brisk business today. Women and men, mostly elderly, kneel before offerings of fresh fruits and bundles of smoldering josh sticks. Some of the praying people clutch bamboo canisters in their hands. Each container holds exactly 100 bamboo slivers, each corresponding to a specific ancient Chinese poem. The worshippers methodically shake their cup of bamboo sticks back and forth in rhythmic cadences. Tommy explains, if you completely concentrate on a specific question while shaking the sticks, eventually one stick will pop up and out and land on the ground. But for this to work, you must clear your mind of all thoughts other than your question. If you are successful, the bamboo stick pertaining to your question will hop out of the cup. Then we go and find a soothsayer. You pay him fee. Then tell your question and stick number, but not your question. The fortune teller will look up the poem and answer your question in a special book of 100 ancient poems. Would you like to try the sticks and go to the soothsayer? Without hesitation, I consent, and Tommy leads me over to a crusty wooden table outside the entrance to the ornately fenestrated open-air temple. A grizzled, ancient, toothless woman seated on a wooden stool behind a decrepit card table wordlessly dispenses bamboo canisters. She smiles slightly at me as her claw-like hand extends a container. How much do I pay her? Oh, nothing at all. There's no charge. It is covered by donations. Tommy then ushers me over a gap in the long row of worshippers, and I assume the position between two middle-aged women who are intently shaking their cups. As I kneel, I discreetly watch the women for a moment and then mimic their movements, although in my case, absolutely nothing happens, except for a bunch of sticks rattling randomly around and around. Not one sliver makes the slightest attempt to jump up and out of my cup. Tommy looks down at me and peacefully intones, "Concentrate. You are not concentrating. You must think only of your question, or nothing will happen." With all my might, I try to clear my mind. Still nothing. But then something incredible starts to happen. My sticks slowly levitate upward like a miniature volcanic peak. The sticks remain suspended for about 5 minutes, and then suddenly one stick flicks straight up and out and flaps on the floor. Tommy smiles, "Good." We walk toward a broad stairway, reminiscent of a dingy subway entrance, and descend to the wizard's lairs, a subterranean catacomb squeezed tight with glass-fronted oracle offices. En route, we pass through a courtyard with head-high brass urns decorated with seething serpents and dragons and reddish flames that lick skyward from the open tops. At the edge of the temple courtyard, a long row of crudely fashioned tables are piled high with fresh oranges, lemons, and other delicacies. When I inquire about the fresh fruits, Tommy replies, "Oh, those are left by the people as sacred offerings." "So what happens with all the fresh fruit and other offerings at the end of the day?" Tommy chuckles and confides, "Oh, some of the people are Indian givers. They pick up and take offerings back home with them when done." There are about 180 soothsayers who work and hold regular office hours at Wong Tai Sin Temple. Tommy comments, "Most people have their personal favorite fortune teller. Some are charlatans, but I suppose at least 10% are legitimate and make very accurate predictions. There are many Hong Kong and Kowloon residents who will not make any important life decisions without first checking with their soothsayer. They use their mobile phones in case of after-hour spiritual emergencies. Unfortunately, Tommy's favorite oracle is away on vacation, but he selects a reputable substitute a few stalls down the corridor from the number one guy. Our fortune teller's office, like the others, is not much bigger than a Motel 6 bathroom. As I scrunch past his desk, attempting to reach a chair, my camera bag scrapes the wall and skews out of plumb a line of the fortune teller's favorite sacred prints. "Sorry," I say sheepishly, but he just looks at me blankly, and Tommy doesn't bother to translate, as he proceeds to tell him my stick number. The soothsayer scratches his whiskered chin and ponders. He then swivels around in his chair and pulls a tattered red book from atop a filing cabinet. He proceeds to look up my number in the red-bound volume of ancient sayings keyed to the 100 bamboo sticks. He goes about his work with the same abandon as if he was searching for an address in a phone book. My question concerned the possibility of finding outlets for my creative and spiritual energies that might provide adequate economic remuneration. But I describe my wish in very vague terms to test the soothsayer's abilities. After a few silent moments, he closes the book of poems, swivels back around, grins at Tommy, and laughs impishly. They smile smugly at each other and then turn their heads in unison and gaze at me. The soothsayer enunciates the answer in Chinese. Tommy and the soothsayer giggle in unison. Then Tommy translates. He says, "The answer to your question is, a job awaits you that promises to be very rewarding spiritually, but the pay will be awful." He says the question for you to ponder is, are you willing to accept such a job? A few weeks after returning to California, I'm sitting in front of my computer, taking a momentary break from writing, when I start daydreaming about the Kowloon Taoist Temple episode. And I suddenly realize exactly what the soothsayer was referring to. My wish had actually come true a long, long time ago, the day I decided to become a travel journalist.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guesthouse overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students, preserving the past and inspiring future generations of dreamers. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle STEAM, along with studying the legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture. The foundation at Hearst Castle not only changes the lives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors and members. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.